Ice spread a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a returning guest. He hasn't been on in a while, and I'm a little upset about that, but now we're fixing it. It's Colton Lamb, everyone.
Oh, well, I've been gone for a little bit of a while because I just came back from the Italian court. What better place to court Italians?
But you speak the king's language.
Yes. Well, did you hear what the Doge did? Well, what did the Doge do? Well, the Doge did what the Doge does. That is what a Doge does his duty to a duke, that is.
Okay, yeah. and Colton, how are you?
Oh, life could not better be.
Oh, good. Life could be a song, but it is.
If you could sing along.
Yeah, with my special guest. There's
no other.
Star,
too.
Oh, my God. And we're here today to talk about the 1955 classic? I've never heard of this movie before you picked it, so I'm not going to lie. The Court Jester. Screenplays by Norman Panama and Melvin Frank. Music and lyrics by Sammy Kahn and Sylvia Fine. Except for one song, The Maladjusted Jester is the only one that Sylvia Fine wrote by herself. And it's directed by Melvin Frank and Norman Panama. And according to IMDb, a helpless carnival performer masquerades as the court jester as part of a plot against an evil ruler who has overthrown the rightful king. Okay. I got a question real quick.
Go for it.
Is the king really that bad? Or is it his right-hand man?
Both. They're both evil people.
Because to me, it seemed like the king... I was getting a lot of Princess Bride vibes from this.
Which one came first?
I know this came first, but to me, it only made sense in the analogy where, what's his butt?
The king and the...
No.
Basil Rathbone.
Yes. Yes.
Because I don't know the character's name. I just know it's Basil Rathbone.
Ravenhurst. He seemed like the Christopher Guest character in Princess Bride. And to me, in The Princess Bride, that character is more of the villain than the king is. And so that's where I was like, okay, but it seems like the king in The Court Jester is very much an idiot.
You mean the Danny Kaye character?
No, the king himself.
Yes, the king is very, although he has some very evil schemes, he's written very clueless.
Goofy. Kind of.
But he's supposed, well, for a majority of the jokes, he's the straight man who gets hit on by Glynis Jones or by Danny Kaye, so that's why it might be that his character may come across as stupid.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was like, are we sure the king is that evil? I mean, maybe he was just talked into this or didn't know exactly. I don't know. But I mean, this movie was fun. I will say that. There were some times, though, that I did check out mentally because I was just like, I can't.
At what parts did you check out?
Oh my goodness. Well, I feel like there are two songs that on my list here that are not in the movie at all. And I'm not sure if it's because I checked out during those moments or if they are just not in the movie. Where these are I Live to Love and Where Walks My True Love.
Both of those songs, although they were supposed to be in the movie, were cut to time.
Okay, great.
But
so
they
it's not
were
me.
Included in the original soundtrack recording.
Got it.
Danny Kaye did them as solo. So you get to hear them at least, and you can kind of associate where they would go. I Live to Love is when Danny Kaye's character is playing the swashbuckling Don Juan, and he's wooing Angela Lansbury. And so he sings this song, I Live to Love, I Love to Live. Ah! And then the other song is just your another traditional I Love You ballad, probably would be something that Danny Kaye and Glynis Jones' character would be singing. And you'll note, interestingly, that all the songs
are sung by
in this
Danny
movie
Kaye.
Are sung by Danny Kaye.
Mm-hmm.
By Angela, not sung by Glynis. Just Danny.
I definitely noticed that because I was just like, well, because I did see on IMDb them talking about I Live to Love, and I thought I read that it said it was put back into the movie, but I could have been misreading it while watching the movie, of course. And it was said that it was a duet with him and Angela Lansbury, and I was like, oh, cool, we're going to hear Angela's voice, and then that never happened. But at the end, when they reprise, life could not be better. Life could not better be, excuse me, let me get the correct terminology. You do see like everyone else joins in on the merriment and the singing. And I was just like, okay, well, I think I was missing this the whole movie. Oh, in a scene that I could tell you that I definitely checked out when they're in the barn, there are moments where I
Yeah,
was just
that
like,
scene drags just the tiniest bit, but it's important to for, you know, they care about the child. You want to see the blossoming between Danny Kaye and Glennis Jones that's actually sincere and not forced. But it does
So,
drag on a little bit. Yes, I do agree.
is that supposed to be where Walks My True Love potentially was?
I think Where Walks My True Love probably again would have been like at a separate scene. Later on in the film, when they needed
Got it.
like a, you know, a, you know, Glynnis and Danny Kaye are bump into each other again, and they're like, "Remember the mission. I love you," and then they sing that deleted song. That's my theory on it. I could be wrong.
Did you feel though that this movie? Well, to me, I feel like this movie had too many moving parts
Too
as
many
well.
notes, Your Majesty?
Too many, yes. Where I get it, you have all these people in this movie, but it's Danny Kaye's movie, obviously, because he does everything in this. I honestly, it felt like they kept him up in a cage for like months working on bits and jokes and everything, and then they're like, "You're free, figure it out, go." But it's just too much. It's just too much.
There is a lot going on in the film. I will grant you that. And
And
I, as someone who loves this film, I do remember the first time watching. I'm like, what? Just what? Because a lot of information goes past you, but luckily, you still get a sense of what's happening and what's going on. It wasn't until I watched it maybe like the third or fourth time where like I really paid attention to the plot and how intricate and detailed it is. And I think that was intentional. It's in written in the style of those, you know, old time farces. All the
yeah.
plots are so convoluted that,
Oh,
you know, you
yeah.
can't even do a synopsis on it, an easy
Mistaken
one.
identity is a big thing in this one, and that's like
Yes.
a common trope
And then there's
used.
political sabotage between, you know, Basil Rathbone and his cohorts and and then there's Danny's plot, and then there's the plot with the man at the castle who's helping
Princess.
out the fox, and then the princess with her witch. There's a lot
The
going on, but
fucking
it's all.
witch.
I love her. She's fantastic. Closer, closer,
Well,
deeper,
so she
deeper.
is supposed to be some sort of mystic.
Yeah, she's the house
Okay.
sorceress.
Because it was, I, it was just, it was, it's a little weird at first when they call her a witch and then they do these things. And she said something like, she had some sort of premonition about the princess and her one true love. But I felt like at that moment, it was just her making shit up, lying profusely.
She
But
might have possibly been.
well, because this was before we saw any of the quote unquote magic happen, where she look into my eyes, look into my eyes.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't exactly magic. It was just more of a hypnotic state.
Right. That's why I'm not really calling it magic, but like, in this time period, you know, it is magic. Hell, the fact that Danny Kaye's character can read is a big thing that they don't really talk about.
Oh, well, that's a
What?
minor detail.
That's
That.
well, so a lot of the jokes in this are dependent on the characters being idiots or not being well educated. So, like, when Danny Kaye is first introduced as the jester, and he's babbling in languages. Not
Oh, I
sure if any of
love that
that,
sequence.
I'm not sure if any of that is actual words that he says,
I
but
think
also.
it is. I think, well, no, I think it, He might have been gibbering just the tiniest bit, but Danny Kaye was a man of 1,000 words and 1,000 tongues, so I think he definitely knew Italian and French and German.
But then before that happens, when he's in disguise as the old man,
What? What's that?
yeah, with the sign language and everything,
Oh,
I was like, nope, no, but yeah.
that's
Yeah.
such a great. Do you know about the child?
No.
No.
I'll keep that pause in too, just for comedic effect. I felt like this is a fine movie. There wasn't really that. This type of fantasy, though, is a little hard for me. I don't know why. For me to get into it. It's not, it's a thing.
Well, for me personally, I find this very much in the style of another favorite film of mine. I think this it's like a sort of like a subgenre of musicals. It's a parody musical in which Judy Garland and Gene Kelly's The Pirate was a parody musical of the
Oh,
Danny
yeah.
or what's his name? Who was the great swashbuckler movies? But anyway, it's a parody of the swashbuckler movies. Whereas this is obviously a parody, hardcore parody of
Of
Robin
Robin
Hood.
Hood.
Yes, even in has Basil Rathbone reprising his character role from Robin Hood at a different archetype, and plays on the Scarlet Pimpernel with the child's Purple Pimpernel. And he says, again, I think it's just a parody musical, which I really enjoy. It's smart and well written, and I wish it deserved more credit, and that's why I wanted to bring it on, so there's more awareness about it.
No,
Yes,
yeah,
it's not the most profound movie ever made, but oh my gosh, the jokes in this are fantastic. They're timeless. They
a ton of
still work in
wordplay.
2024. I think seeing Angela Lansbury as a brat is so much fun too, because you always think of Angela as sweet and kind and lovely, but seeing her like, if he dies, you
You
die.
die,
And
yeah.
like she's just and oh and oh my oh, there's so many little just like little great moments. You know what I mean, John? Get it?
Yeah, you know,
Get it?
little great moments.
No, you have to say got it. Get
Got
it?
it. Got
Good.
it. Which IMDb boasts that this is the first movie to do that. And I was like, okay.
To do what?
Get it, got it, good.
Get it? Got it.
Got it,
Good.
good.
I wouldn't well,
I
I
mean,
wouldn't
I'm not
disagree with him.
surprised. I wouldn't be surprised considering it's from 1955, but also I feel like that it might be an all old vaudevillian technique. It's just quick, rapid fire conversation. You know, pacing. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some things that I'm just like, was this necessary?
Such
Like
as?
the magnetization of his suit.
Okay, that was fu
It was
it's
funny.
silly. It was
It's
silly.
silly, but I was hoping for it to pay off more. You know?
That's true. It doesn't really pay off. I do agree with you, yes. Like, it's a nice little silly thing to have, but I think that scene is already silly enough, and we have that great joke of the pellet with the poisons and the vessel with the pestle and the chalice from the palace as the brew that is true, but now you don't want the chalice from the palace.
So you
You want
want
the
the
flagon
flagon
with the
with the
dragon.
dragon. Yeah.
So
And
we already have that going on. So the addition of the suit energize or acting as a magnet might have been a little too much. I would agree with you on that. Yes.
I liked that. What's the character's name? Walker? No. Yes? Hawkins.
What does he do?
Sorry.
Oh, Hawkins.
Hawkins.
Oh, Hawkins. Oh, yes, it's Dennis Jones. Oh, how could you have to get to the castle?
I liked that Hawkins's. Sorry. I liked that there was a payoff for the troop that Hawkins brings in, the acrobats, that
Yes. Do
at
you think
first.
that's problematic in 2024? It's a little bit like the Munchkins in The Wizard of Oz, right? It's
There
they
was a moment where I was just like, are these kids or are these adults?
Well, and that's the thing, is that they're not treated like adults because they're voice dubbed by children's voices in the song The Black Fox, and whenever they're fighting, you hear children's.
Children.
So that would be the only downside. But again, it's like the Munchkins. Is it a fantasy land where we can forgive that, or are we not giving these performers their due? I
mean,
as human beings and individuals.
they were the Acts 3,
They were the
climax.
Deus ex machina, yeah.
I feel like they definitely helped, but what they were doing was just insane. The bouncing of people on their feet.
Oh my God, isn't that
The
was fun.
fact that they, I don't understand this, that they set up that the barrels on the ground and then they rolled the people on top of the barrels. I was just like, what is, I mean, is it a conveyor belt? It seems like you didn't need the barrels because the four people at each limb felt like they could carry the
No, it's
guards.
just, it was just, the barrels are just another visual gag.
I know it's all silliness and everything at this point. What is interesting though is that between the maladjusted jester and then the very end, that's what, like all of Act Three, there is no song.
Just like in The Wizard of Oz, if I were king, and
Done.
then nothing else afterwards.
Yeah. Until they go to Oz, until they go to Emerald City, I should say, and you get the voices and everything. But in this one, I was like, that's so fascinating. Although I don't know where a song would go.
Like probably that deleted love song. That's what I was thinking. Is that somewhere in the third act?
Yeah, that makes sense. I liked that it was the silly action and then that sword fight between Danny Kaye and
Oh my
Basil
gosh, that sword
Rathbone.
fight. And when he cuts the candles. Oh gosh. I
Yeah.
have such admiration for Danny. I think this is when I became a hardcore Danny Kaye fan.
Like,
Because of this film, because he just does everything in this film.
and this is the year after White Christmas.
Well, he
So,
doesn't do much in White Christmas.
but I mean,
It's like,
like he's knocking them out. He's got White Christmas, which was a commercial success. Even though this wasn't a commercial success, he's still doing the most in it.
yes. And then he did, I know he did another movie musical called Hans Christian Andersen. And I, do you know that movie?
No, but I'm laughing for other reasons.
Well, he played Hans Christian Andersen, and that was another Danny Cage showcase film, but that was showing more of his acting ability that he could, do straight acting, while this shows more of his comedic ability and his physical comedy. Oh, he's just so great in this
Yeah,
film.
so Hans Christian Andersen was 52, White Christmas was 54, and then literally The Court Jester is the next thing that he has. He has another movie called Knock on Wood between Hans Christian Andersen and White Christmas, but it doesn't seem like it's just a comedy. It doesn't seem
Yeah.
like it's a
There's a bunch
musical.
of films that he did that I need to do my homework on.
You
But I can firmly say, like, maybe I'm incorrect by saying I haven't seen all his films, but I will firmly say that I believe that this is his best film that showcases his talent.
Yeah. I mean, in White Christmas, he did do a little like dancing in that. I kind of wish there was a little more dancing in this one because he can move for sure.
Well, I think he makes it up with the sword fighting.
He does make it up with the sword fighting, but like with what is that song? The Maladjusted Jester. Like, I wish there was a little dance break or something,
That's true. We could have added it for more time if you wanted to.
Yeah. Like that, or like had choreography while dancing. It seemed like he was,
You didn't like the big choreographed knighting sequence?
I mean,
Where they
that
sped up the film,
when they sped it up and
reversed
then
it, sped
reversed
it
it
up.
and then put it back and then reversed it. What also boggled my mind was like I was watching it and I was like, are his pants falling down? Are his tights falling? Like the crotch of his
Yeah,
tights kept getting.
I think that was intentional. That's supposed to be a joke that he's being thrown all over the place, that his pants are
I
sliding down.
realized that midway through when I was like, no, they're still at the waist. They're still you don't see a waistband or anything. They're still up. But I was just like, they lower and lower. I think at the end of it, like the crotch is by his knees or something like that. And of course they're gold, like LeMay-esque tights, so you've got it's so they and he's surrounded by people all in silver, so I'm like, this is so stupid. I mean, I did find it funny when he was I know it's like a, I don't know the dancer term, but like, you know, when people are walking around a focal point, a center point.
Oh yeah, I call those airplanes.
Yeah, for you, the listener, think of like the only thing that comes to mind is Springtime for Hitler from the producers, where they're in the swastika and they're dancing around. It's so stupid. But in this one, there's something similar to that, and Danny Kaye is just in the center with a helmet with a feather on it. I was like, this is dumb. I love it. This is so dumb.
That
It's
they
fun.
have to knight him in one day, and it takes, yeah,
Oh my, that
pretty silly. And we
montage.
have to speed it up. Go, go, go.
Go. You have to fight the fiercest boar, and it's a piglet. Like,
It's like you have to climb this tall tower, and they just push
they
him.
push him. They use a log to throw him over. Like this. There is a lot of funny moments in this. I think, though, my brain was just not awake enough to watch it for this recording. I'll put it that
That's
way.
fair. And you know, like I said before, I had to watch this. Like the first time I saw it, I loved it, but I had to watch it a couple of times to like really understand it and
Yeah.
really appreciate the comedy. So this is definitely like a great rewatch, I think.
So if somebody wants to do this as a second chance. Oh, the one thing that I had a question about, and I this is a moment that I just like blanked on. When the first time that Danny Kaye is put under the spell, so like when the snapping and he's
I
going,
am Craven, and thou art my master.
yeah, is he aware of what's happening?
I don't think so, because each time they snap, he's like, "What am I happening?" You know, he switches right back off. It's like a light switch, and I think that's where the comedy comes in, where he doesn't fully aware
What
because
happens? Got it.
what happens? Because then later, there's the drinks get poisoned by the witch, and he's kind of startled by it. But when he was his triumphal Don Juan figure, he knew that, you know, there was political plotting and planning.
That's swinging, by the way. The swinging that Hawkins does that one.
Oh my gosh, isn't that great? It's
That
a very sturdy
was
vine. But again, that it can either be, you know, you suspend your disbelief, or that's part of the comedy and that's part of the pastiche of they have like the longest vine to the swing on to reach the fair maiden in the tower.
This movie, I feel like, is fine by today's standards and standards of comedy, but there are moments of like what we talked about with the acrobats and the dubbing of them, but and then also like maybe there's a little insensitivity with the sign language or that kind of.
That could be possibly, but again, it they were trying to fool this idiot person,
Yeah,
and
so
so they and again, that's just part of the comedy.
part of my brain for the latter went, okay, we have to think about this kind of historically now, not 1955, but like when this is set. And, you know, yeah, they're having like, you know, they're twisting history a little bit and making it bend to the will of this movie. But like, nobody in, when is it supposed to be, 1400s knows
Yeah,
what
like
sign
just
language is.
whenever medieval.
Yeah. But let's get to the music, because that's what we're here to talk about on this podcast,
It's a
not whether this movie's stood
those
the test of
songs
time.
are what the kids call bangers.
I really liked, and you'll never guess which one, so I'll tell you, I really liked I'll Take You Dreaming. That one was
Really? You know what
beautiful.
that was for me?
A flat.
Dream stuff. Dream stuff. That was the dream stuff song
See,
for where I
I.
I'm like, okay, let's get the plot going.
Well, so to me, I read it's supposed to be just a lullaby, obviously, for the baby. And I think I liked it because it showed off his voice.
Yes,
It wasn't like, look at me, I'm the jester, I'm the comedian.
it's a calming before he
Yeah.
goes crazy.
Yeah. And then also, so before that happens, there's Out Fox the Fox,
Which is
which
my favorite song.
I was like, okay, shocker of all shockers, Danny Kaye is the fox. And then they revealed he's not the fox. And I went, what? The black fox, not who is obviously Robin Hood. and his
Yeah.
merry men.
But you were saying that there wasn't any dance numbers. That's a dance number.
That is a dance number. You're right.
They're doing the capes and things.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Because there's that.
And there's a little dance break.
I was hoping for the maladjusted jester to have a dance number. Then maybe let's put it that way. How about
That's
that?
fair. And the only thing Maladjusted Jester has that's like a Danny Kaye stamp is that he likes to do kids' voices, and he gets to do that. I grabbed a bow and arrow, and I learned to shoot. I grabbed a whatever, and I
Yes.
learned to toot. Now I can shoot and toot NIQ. That was a Danny Kaye signature. He always liked to do kids' voices.
But in Outfox the Fox, when he does that whole like, there's two of us, now there's three of us, now there's four of us. I looked at them all and I went, are these his like stunt doubles or like what is that term? The people who are there for like the stand-ins or like his stand-ins or something. Because they did look like him, I will say that. I mean, yes, they're all wearing a mask and everything, but for me, I guess this watch was like the technical things and the behind the scenes of how they did everything.
Yeah, and I wish there was. Well, I tried to do as much research as I could for this episode, but there's not a lot of information about this film. It must have just been a film that was just made and put up. It's not like, a Wizard of Oz or a Godfather where there was a lot of intrigue and drama behind the set. It just seemed like one of those, we got this movie, let's shoot it, in and out, we're done.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia of it, and
And all they talk about is about how Igor Stravinsky once visited the set while they were recording.
well, looking at the critical reception of it, and it seems like, the New York Times, the Philadelphia Requ Inquirer, the New York Post, and the Oakland Tribune all like gave it review like rave reviews. They were all positive, so I don't know why. Oh, and Danny Kaye received a Golden Globe nomination for this. Huzzah. But yeah.
Where were we? Oh, musical numbers.
Musical numbers, yes.
Oh, the opening Life Could Not Better Be. You have to admit, that was a pretty fun way to open up the movie. And each time Basil Rathbone came on the screen, he pushed it away. And the way they did the credits, because sometimes in old movies, they just show the credits and then they fade and show the
With
next slide
an
and fade
overture or
it.
something, yeah.
Yeah, this one was like, hi, welcome. Let's have fun with the credits. And I think that that's such a great way to start off a film.
Like, this is what I wrote. I was a little bit mean when I wrote this down, but during that, I wrote down there are some times that I think actors get in their costumes and they question their life choices. Danny Kaye deserves his paycheck for that headpiece alone.
Well, he's playing the court
He's
jester.
playing the court jester, but it looked like it was part bug because they were like antenna, not a hat, a court jester's hat. And that was a cheap looking costume. I'm sorry.
It's not cheap. It was bedangled. It was black and red. I remember it.
I know it. I mean, comparatively to what we see later on, it felt like the Party City version of what we see. He has better costumes later, I will say
Don't you
that.
dare talk down to Irene Sheriff like that. How could
I'll
you?
talk down to Irene Sheriff if I want to. I did like his the one that he wears the most with the diamond that had the pocket by his heart where he put the handkerchief.
Hey, not daddy day and a
La
lolly
la
lolly
la.
low.
And then we have My Heart Knows a Love Song, which
I can't whistle.
start way too.
Anyone can whistle, but I.
Oh, yes. That
My heart knows a lovely song.
where I was trying to whistle
Well,
it and I was like, that's so high. How do people whistle that high?
probably they whistle low, and then
And
they
then
get
they.
like a little chipmunk mixer. Doo doo doo.
But I thought that was like a smart way to include the little special call.
Yeah, and when he comes into the castle, he's like, I'm here, I'm Jacques Comeau. And then he sees all these depressing things go on. One guy's getting hanged and he's singing this
One
happy
guy's about to
song.
get beheaded, and he's
Yeah,
like,
that's literally my life every day. I just come in with so much energy, like, hello world, and then all these depressing things just pass by me and I'm hanged.
I was sitting there just like, he's doing a good job trying to hide. Like, Danny Kaye, I think, did a great job acting like this character would, you know, where obviously he's not ready for anything that's about to happen. But and he thinks one thing is going to happen, but then he's talking, or he there's mistaken identity with his contact and all that. But during this song, like the moments where he's seeing the most depressing things, he's supposed to not care about it. And I think he did a great job acting like that, you know, being like, oh, I you're about to lose your head, and I'm gonna keep singing my song. Ha ha ha, whistle, whistle, whistle. Ha ha ha, ha ha.
I do love that moment.
What else? What else do you want to talk about? When did you first see this movie? How about that?
Right. This was not, this is, you know, it's funny. They don't really show this film on TCM. I don't think they've ever shown this on TCM, which is how I usually find my movie musicals. I think my father, who loved this film and loves Danny Kaye, recommended me this film. And so I had to search high and low throughout the different libraries we have here in San Diego. Luckily, I found a DVD copy and I watched it and I adored it. And I wish they would. And the DVD copies are kind of weird. I don't think they have done like a Blu-ray edition or like a 4K edition. I know the Criterion Collection had it, and I wish the Criterion Collection would do a DVD or Blu-ray release of this film. But that's how it came across on my radar. And I have another friend, Scott, who loves this movie, and we watch it all the time and we quote it. Oh, yeah, we
It's
do.
weird though that TCM hasn't played it. I feel like this
And I
is
don't know if
up
it's
their
a thing
alley.
with like Paramount or whatever. I know that sometimes, for the listeners who are listening, sometimes they put it on, it comes and goes on streaming services. Like it was on Amazon Prime for a hot minute and then it was taken off and then it was on YouTube Movies for a hot minute and then was taken off.
Oh, I rented this on Prime. So it's back.
Oh, okay. Well, I meant like to stream watch for free.
Oh,
That's what I mean. So.
No, of course not. Of
So,
course
but in
not.
any case, it's just one of those films like if you ever, if it's ever on your radar and it's free, I
Go
definitely
watch
highly
it.
recommend it. Yeah, but do you, it seemed like you liked this film, John. You didn't love it, but you liked it.
Yeah. I mean, that he was a clown enough. I really only know Danny Kaye from White Christmas,
As
because I've
most
seen
people
that
do.
7,000 times at this point in my life. So to see him play something different, but also lead the movie was very interesting in a good way, where like obviously this is his genre. I don't think he could do a straight drama.
Well, he tried to do that with Hans Christian Andersen. I think he passed. Maybe we should do that movie next. But
Okay.
he can do straight acting, and the testament to that is Hans Christian Andersen.
I kind of wish though that like again Glennis Jones Johns Johns
Glennis
Johns
Jones. Glennis Jones, you might remember me.
Jones, yes.
I was the mother in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, and she also originated
Isn't it rich?
Little Night
Are we
Music.
up there?
Little she was also Little Night Music, the lead.
Darling, I miss you a lot, but darling, this has to be short.
But I do wish that she and Angela Lansbury definitely got to sing, because like,
I was thinking about this when you said that Angela didn't get to sing. She didn't even get to sing in the Harvey Girls because she was dubbed. Oh, you kid, you
right,
lovey-dovey kid. That's obviously not
right.
Angela's voice. So
No.
I don't think there's ever been a musical before, you know, Bedknobs and Broomsticks where we actually got to hear her sing. And she did two big musicals, Harvey Girls and Court Jester. She did get to sing, poor thing.
Well, this was also, was this early in her career as well? Or was this
I mean,
like,
did you see her legs? Obviously, it's early in her career.
I mean, yes, but
She was gorgeous. Jeez. And
like
Glennis was gorgeous too.
Harvey Girls was like what?
48.
Yeah, and that was her fourth movie or something like that, where she
Yeah.
had a speaking role. It was a little sad, but at the same time, I'm like, bitch, you look fierce.
Yeah, those gowns that they put on her, especially the blue one, she looks great.
There was one that I didn't like. I didn't flat it, but I just didn't like it. It was just because it was too much fabric. It was that dark green cloak thing that I was just like, you're swallowing Angela and all the fabric. Like that was the only one that I didn't really like. But
Yeah,
that was
I thought Glennis in her pink gown was gorgeous too.
I was ready for her to rip off that gown and have pants on because of
Yeah, a little bit. It was that costume looked a little bit like that. I
because
agree.
there was in the beginning, wasn't she wearing pants?
She was
She was
wearing
at the
pantalettes or pantyhose or tights.
legs. Her legs were visible. She wasn't wearing a skirt, in other words. It was fascinating, but I was like, this character, the captain, that's her title and that's her role in the Black Fox's troop.
Yeah.
And I was like, give her pants. I know we're in 55, but give her pants. Give her some pants.
Well, you have to admit, for her character in the 50s, for her to have, if we're thinking about, we were talking earlier about whether this film surpasses time or, how we offend people, thinking about it, her character, we could consider it a little bit ahead that she's, the second in
Oh,
command.
yeah.
She's telling Danny Kaye where to go and what to do, and she's the one who's, making the plans and
And it's
making the move.
not to be like, yeah, sure, you can totally do this. It's they trust her.
They
She
trust her.
built the trust from the little interactions we see with her and the Black Fox, because there's only that one scene really.
And each
But
time, like early on in the film, before they profess their love, each time Danny Kaye tries to make it a van, she's like, nope, this is work. Nope, work.
although I was imagining the barn scene, if it were done today, if they were to remake this movie, go with me on this hypothetical. If they were to remake this movie with like more modern language and everything, that barn scene, she would turn to him and be like, I'm horny. Let's fuck.
And
That's
also,
bit.
she's the one who knocks out the real Giacomo, not
Right.
Danny
But
Kaye.
my brain was like, that's where this is going. This conversation is going. Like, she's horny. And wants to fuck. So do it. Because God knows the last time she got any on this quest. Also, how far are they, is the camp supposed to be from the castle? Because, yeah.
Details, details, details.
Because when they send the bird, the hawk or carrier pigeon or whatever, where I was like, they're tweeting. Go with me. It's funny. I'm funny. God damn it. I
That
was
was
just
funny, ho ho. I wanted it to be funny, ha ha.
like, I don't know how far they're from, because they just, I mean, I get it. It's a movie. They're supposed to magically show up and all is right in the world and everything.
Yeah,
But
so if you know that, be quiet.
and another thing that they bring up is the camp had like some sort of, there was a, what was it? There was some like the bridge broke, or they had a cave in, or something like that.
Yeah,
And
there was a cave in, yeah.
I was just like, this didn't do anything. You got out.
Again, it was to set up that the
Couldn't
because
come sooner,
he couldn't
right?
come sooner, and then it gives the deus ex machina to Hawkins' troop because they could get there faster. Because all
Because they can make a little
because they were like,
hole right
sorry,
in.
troop, we can't use you because we don't have enough supplies. So goodbye, go away. But then they come back to save the day when they were when the real Black Foxes were caved in.
It still doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry, all complaints have to be submitted in writing.
No, this is my podcast, my rules. Is there anything else though you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Yeah, let's just, it's so interesting. When we've done other podcasts on other movies, we always have something to say. We have lists and we have,
I don't.
metaphors and German epic theater, but this one is just like a good old,
It's a good time.
it's a good time. And
It's
it's
fun.
something you can't really overthink. And again, my main thing about talking about it on the podcast was to bring awareness of it, just because it's just a good old fashioned comedy.
Yeah, no,
That's gorgeous to look at.
and this podcast, it wasn't the initial goal of it, but it's morphed into it. But like when we're looking back at these older movies, obviously we're wondering, is this still viable for today's audiences? I mean, there's going, no matter what movie, what decade, there's going to be something that, because the times have changed and social and
Hi guys, welcome
comedy
to
has
Miss
changed.
Mojo. And today, here's the top 10 reasons why to cancel The Court Jester.
I feel like this is one of the ones that I'm just like, this is fine. Like, there is nothing, there is no real reason to cancel The Court Jester. In other words, I feel like this is one that I'm just, that I don't know if people just know about. And hopefully this gets an uptick in downloads or streams or whatever, however they measure the algorithms and things like that.
There is one thing actually I remembered that I wanted to talk about. Just
Okay.
like 5,000 Fingers, do you think this could work as a stage musical? And then
Oh, yes.
you
Yes, I
take the
wanted to
songs
ask you
that were
about that.
deleted and you give them to the Glennis Jones and the Angela Lansbury character.
So,
Give
obviously,
the
for.
witch a number.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Closer, closer, deeper, deeper, closer, closer, deeper,
I
deeper.
would love it to be like Evil Woman in Xanadu.
Give Jackie Hartman the role. Oh.
Done. Take all my money. Take all of my money. But I mean, I feel like that would be perfect for that character, right? That
Yeah, and I
type of
think this would,
song.
yeah, and I think this would be a great stage musical. And then, like,
This
most of
had.
the action takes place in the castle, so you can have like a one unit set of the castle, and you can find other Sylvia Fine songs because they wrote a lot of songs, and interlope it into the plot. There's plenty of places to take a break. You can even write like a patter song. The pellet with the poisons and the vessel with the pestle and the chalice from the palace
There
has
we
the brewing that it
go.
should. But now you want the flagon with the dragon and the flat, not the pestle.
Yes. And then you can, yeah, and have harmonies and repeats and do it in a canon and everything.
The Duchess Dover, the Duchess when the Duke just did, when the Duke ducked the Doge, Dodge, Dodge, didn't.
The translation, though, from movie to stage, you would have to figure out how to substitute some of the humor that they can do on film that you can't do on stage,
Such as,
i.e., the vine. The swinging vine. There has.
oh, if they can make Tarzan fly, they can make Spider-Man fly.
Well, no, because to me, part of the humor for that is that it's the same shot. It's
Oh.
literally the same shot, and it's so absurd for him to go around. Like, I honestly think this was filmed in like England or something like that, and they just so happened to have like the usage of a castle for like a week. And they're like,
Yeah,
let's
I
get everything
think
done.
my theory is that all the eternal shots, eternal, eternal, internal,
External. Internal. Inside.
when they're inside a building,
That's a sound stage.
it was all on the Paramount lot. And I think maybe they went to a castle somewhere on the outskirts of Ireland or somewhere for a couple of days to do all those shots there.
Like My Heart Knows a Love Song. I feel like that one was actually at a castle because looking around the levels and everything, I was just like, you can't have built this.
Yeah, and then there's also a, my the one scene that comes to mind is when Glennis Jones is riding through the countryside and the King's Men catch her to
Oh,
collect all the wenches.
that is Ireland, Scotland, some European place. Like,
Yeah.
clearly they had some money to go abroad, but then also, I mean, maybe this was filmed in London and then they filmed at what's the big
Pinewood?
st Pinewood, yeah, if it was Pinewood back then or whatever the name of it was.
No, I think that this had to be shot at Paramount. That's my only theory. But
Okay, just
and
saying.
now
But
I'm coming to think that would this musical have a place at the table in a because I'm thinking of Spamalot right now and how much, that's also a medieval musical
yes, based off of a
with
movie.
a based off of the movie, a lot of comedy. Would there be a place at the table for a Court Jester musical with Spamalot
Yeah.
and like something rotten? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because this is a different. I feel like also if they expanded it, because this movie is only
An hour and
an
a
hour and
half.
40 minutes long. So, like, if you gave it an extra hour, we can sit in a lot of these storylines.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Or maybe with that point of the comedy, a lot of the comedy comes from how fast everything is. I'm thinking about that scene where he's just coming out of his chambers. He's just changed. The king tells him something. And then Angela Lansbury says something. And the witch says something. And Basil Rathbone says something. And Gladys Jones is like, here's the baby. Here's the basket. And he's like, what? What just happened?
Yes, because that's a good scene to say how much like you're like, what is going on in this movie? How many stories are happening in this one movie?
But maybe there's some paces to slow down and some paces where we can keep the fast pace of the film.
Like it would be if it would okay. I'm picturing it. I'm picturing it now. Follow me on this. Ready? There's a giant revolve on stage. Go with me on this. And in that sequence when he's meeting with the different groups to learn about the story, and he's under the spell, of course. I feel like it'd be interesting if he like goes in a door into the next room and it's the next scene just to keep everything moving and everything. So
Yeah.
like the revolve will turn, but
Sort
he's
of like the Peter Pan Goes Wrong set.
yes, that very much.
I could be down for that. Let's get the Netherlanders on this podcast and we'll talk
Totally.
about it. The Schubert
Yeah.
organization.
Yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure we need to get the Sammy Cahn and Sylvia Fine estates
Oh, I'm sure they'd be okay with it.
be like, hi, do you have any other music we can use for this one movie?
Or, you could do it like Millie and get like Jeanine Tesori to add additional songs. Probably for this, I'm thinking like if it was out of our hands, they'd probably get Pasek and Paul to do the additional songs. I'm sure that.
See, and the fact that you said Spamalot makes me want to be like, let's give it to Eric Idle, because he understands comedic songs, obviously, with Spamalot and with the Life of Brian musical that they did a few years ago, that I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, I think this could work for stage. Obviously, a lot has to
As
shift.
with any stage adaptation of a movie.
So I think the one major difference that they have to do is that ending, because like how are you going to get rid of those guards and everything, and are we going to do that assembly line
Well, I don't
where they're
think so.
bouncing on the legs on the feet of the acrobats? Are we
No,
gonna
but I would love to see that sword fight. Live on stage. That would be exciting.
when he pours out of that pitcher and is
To
still
your health.
fighting, it is impressive. I mean, they're referencing Cyrano. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, I was saying to your health.
Oh, to your health. No, I mean, I get it that they're referencing a lot of sword fights and other
Yeah,
things from this
particularly like that
genre.
famous sword fighting scene from Robin Hood.
But I mean, that was impressive. Because I don't think Danny Kaye is a sword fighter by trade, like just knows how to sword fight, I think.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was thinking of that scene where someone snaps out and he's like back to being Danny Kaye, the babbling idiot. He draw His sword drops and he just runs up to Basil Rathbone, just screams and yells and then picks up his sword. That had to be like a blooper that they kept in intentionally. Like
Again, sometimes it just felt like, go, Danny, do whatever you want. Just say the lines.
Yeah, but you have to admit that was pretty funny when he dropped the sword. He just runs up to battle like,
Oh,
ah!
yeah. That, see,
Yeah,
when in this proposed stage version that we were coming up with, I hope they don't put a song during the sword fight.
they shouldn't.
Yeah, no. Music,
Instrumental,
underscoring it,
yeah.
yes. Like sword fight music, yeah, but it doesn't need to be a full-blown song, because the fighting is the star of that moment.
Agreed.
Okay, and then in the stage version, would you play the jester,
Oh yeah. Oh, I would.
or would you want to play somebody else?
When I was in college, I was required to do two monologues. And
One
for
of them
my
was from this
comedic
movie.
monologue, I did, where you see, the Duchess dobered the Duke just when the Duke dove to the Doge. Now the Duke ducked the Doge, dodged, but the Duchess didn't. Therefore, the Duke got the Duchess got the Doge, and the Doge got the Duke. Get it? Got it good. I did that. And it was one of my, that, or the Duchess had a seize of rheumatism.
Your face did not move when you did that, by the way. You're like, I need to lock into position and think about the words that I'm saying because otherwise I'm
Well,
going to
I
mess
tried
it
to do
up.
it earlier in this podcast and blurred out, and I know it. I just have to focus.
Okay, let's get into sharp and flat, shall we?
I shall do the honors.
Sharp
Flat.
flat.
This is the part of the show where we come to sharp and flat. If it's something we like, it's sharp. If it's something we didn't like, it's flat. John, would you like to go first?
Sure, I'm keeping
See,
all of that in.
you didn't even need the sound effects. I could just do it all.
Colden, I think, is just trying to take over this podcast.
No.
Good luck is all I have to say to you. Okay, let's start with flats. I've got a few of them. Yeah, I got a few of them. My first flat is the fact that there's too much for this time frame that we have, the 1 hour and 40 minutes. It just felt like a lot was
That's fair. And that
happening.
could have been just the studio, as you saw that there were
Yeah.
deleted songs and they might have just cut it down for time. It might have been that. I agree with
Yeah.
you.
I also am flatting that some of the bits go on a little long.
Can you give me an example of a bit that goes too long?
When the king and Angela Lansbury have that conversation in her
Oh,
chambers, and
come
he's
on. You can't put it on the flat list like that.
I can, and I did. It.
You're supposed to snap and say, yes, I could do it like that.
Yes,
No,
I could
I
do it
could
like
do it like
that.
that.
No,
Don't
but
you
I could do it
snap
like
your
that. I could
fingers
do it
at
like
me.
that.
That was funny.
There were some bits. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I know that there. I feel like they chose to cut the songs to keep the bits, and I feel like they needed to edit the bits to keep the songs.
Yeah. There's one bit I will agree with you that goes a little too long. It's not funny, haha. It's funny, uh-oh, or funny, ho-ho. It's when Glynis Jones says she has like a sickness and she's trying to seduce the king by grabbing the keys. That was a bit that went on too long, I would agree. Would you
Yes.
agree with that, John?
Yeah.
And I th and
I did think
yeah.
it was funny though when she, because she was using her she was using the fact that the king is horny to her advantage to be like, oh, but like, don't mind the disease that you may or may not get because I may be a carrier. It's like, get it, Glynis. And then my final flat is for the fact that it's only Danny Kaye singing. I mean, I do like it that it's Danny Kaye singing, but
Well,
that
it's consistent. Well, we'll give him that.
it's consistent. But like, you have Glynis Johns and Angela Lansbury in
Angela.
this movie.
But again,
Use
it might have been
them.
at a time when people didn't
They didn't
realize
know
it was
them.
Glynis Jones or Angela Lansbury like
Right.
we do now.
They were probably working off of the White Christmas fame still. So yeah. What about you, Colden? Do you have any flats?
I don't want to flat this film because I just enjoy it so much, and the ends justifies the means for me. But maybe you are right that there may be
Well,
some times when gigs or jokes go on a little bit too long, or that there's unnecessary ones like the metallic metal or
like, I loved the wordplay, and actually that is one of my sharps with like the flagon with the dragon and the
the
all
pillar with the
that.
poisons in the vessel, but the pestle, the chalice from the palaces of the brood that is true.
The all of those moments. I laughed my ass off because it was so funny. It's and like, for whatever reason, they keep fumbling it up, and it could be a little long, but I didn't really mind it. It sounded like it was the appropriate length for the joke. How about that?
Agreed.
The
Yes.
wordplay. But
Yeah,
then
the
there are other
wordplay is definitely
things.
my sharp as well.
But yeah, I mean, even my flats, I was just like, it was a little hard pressed finding some things. And then I did. So I'm assuming your only flat really is that the bits go on a little too long.
Sometimes, but
Yeah. Not all bits, but some of the
it's
bits.
not like a hardcore flat, like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. If I had something to gripe about, it
It's a
would be
minor flat. How's that?
it's a minor.
Okay, so sharps. Like I said, one of my sharps is for the wordplay. I also want a sharp Glynis Johns because she's a badass in this.
Oh, I love it so much. Oh, Hawkins, you have to get the baby to the castle.
I also sharped Hawkins swinging on the vine because it was so funny. The ending sword fight sharp.
Yes, that's a
And
good chirp.
then, okay, in the beginning, in the opening song, Life Could Not Be Better, or Life Could Not Better Be. Damn
Life
it.
could not better be, better be, better
There's a
be.
line in the song that says, which one wrote this? That he sings, which one wrote this? And it's when the songwriters are on the screen, like the crediting the songwriters. So I was like, that's funny. That is so funny. And
I like
I,
smart comedy.
but like, I don't know if they planned it that way on purpose or if it was just a happy
Well, it had to
accident.
be planned because
Yeah.
he choreographed it, and each time he did a choreographed move, a name or a credit was shown.
And yeah, it was just so smart. It was so smart. Like, this movie has a lot of different comedy or styles of comedy in it, where there's the visual gags, there's the wordplay, there's the repetition,
There's physical
it's
comedy.
physical comedy. Yeah. So this started off with him in the jester suit, and then that happens, which I don't know if it's going to be picked up by a lot of people, or like if it's going to be noticed by a lot of people. But like the fact that you and I both notice it is so funny. It's just hilarious. What are your sharps besides the whole movie?
I agree. No, I agree with your sharps. Other sharps that I would want to include. The costume design, gorgeously done. And
Yes.
what a great period to do costume design in. So rich. And especially since you're doing it in a fantasy and you're doing it in a musical, you get to heighten the medieval wardrobe. So, what
So
a
good.
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I want to give a sharp to Griselda. And the actress who played Griselda. She's great. And she has to deal with a lot. She
So
gets thrown on so much.
that is Mildred Natwick.
Oh, she's great. Oh, I just love her. So all the scenes that she's in, I just adore her because she's just trying her best to live her life. And Angela Lansbury is throwing her crap. The king's throwing her crap. Daddy Kay is not a like, she's just trying to live her life, and everyone just picks her.
And
She's
trying not
great.
to die. You know what's fascinating? I'm on her IMDb page right now. She was on an episode of Murder, She Wrote in 1986. So
Oh,
she got back
that's
together.
nice.
Yeah. Where Jessica is the murderer on that show. You will not change my mind otherwise.
Oh.
She just so
Ooh.
happens to go to places where murder happens. Come on. Every episode, she just so happens to be visiting a distant cousin that she doesn't talk to except for this one party that they invited her to, and somebody dies.
That's a good theory. I'll give you that. I'm trying to think of some other sharps. Yeah, those are my only sharps.
Okay. Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
I have. Life could not better be. The first time I ever auditioned for Disney, I sang, it was for the storytellers at Disneyland, and I sang Life Could Not Better Be. And they said, "That's great, thanks."
Oh
But
no.
I love that. What starts like a scary tale ends like a fairy tale, and life couldn't possibly better be. It's a great song.
I wrote
And
down I'll take you dreaming. I thought it was nice.
dream
I
stuff,
know.
dream stuff.
Oh
Funny
God.
business about this dream stuff.
Because also, I felt
I'm
that.
just giving you a hard time. It's a beautiful lullaby.
I felt that the other songs, though great, I can't separate them from the visuals.
No, yeah. And
So,
My Heart Knows a Lovely Song, The Maladjusted Jester, those are very plot specific songs. Whereas
yes.
The lullaby can be taken in any
Can be taken
context.
out. Outfax the Fox probably could be taken out, but I was just like,
No,
okay.
that's so in the plot. Because how
All
would you?
right.
Hi, guys, welcome to my cabaret. Only the sharpest eye, the keenest nose, the kick his ears, the fleetest toes can ever outfox a fox. No, you can't take that out of context.
It's not that I didn't like Life Could Not Better Be. See, I said it correctly this time. It's just that I probably wasn't paying attention that well to it. And
That's
that's on
fair.
me. That's on me, everyone. But Colden, on that note, we're done with the episode.
And life couldn't possibly better be.
Happy April Fools, everyone, by the way. Best placement, I guess, that I've ever done, and never didn't mention it earlier that this is our April Fool's episode. But Colden, what do you have to plug or promote?
I'm not that selfish. So if you must know, if I have to plug or promote anything,
That's what
I've
you do in
recently
this section,
created.
yes.
All right, fine. I am trying. The keyword is trying. It's hard when you have five part-time jobs, but I am trying to write two different articles. One, three different articles, excuse me. Three different articles at the same time. Hopefully, I could share it with you all very sooner than later, but I'm going to try my best. The other thing I have to plug and promote is I just started a new YouTube channel called A
Ooh.
Mark. Well, it's not very interesting, I assure you, just for us nerds, but it's called A Mark Blitzstein Archive, in which one of my favorite composers for the theater is Mark Blitzstein, as some of you know, who wrote the
Yeah.
score to The Cradle Will Rock. But he did a bunch of other work too, and unfortunately he's a great composer who's highly neglected. And so I've, with the help of another composer whose name is Leonard Lerman, we are creating this YouTube account together to bring more awareness of his work. And we've been slowly been putting up different archival recordings and recordings of his work just so more people know about it. Or
So, are
for
you talking about it, or are you just showing clips of people singing his songs?
different, so I, for example, there was a CD back in the 80s called the Blitzstein Cabaret. It's never been put out anywhere else, and we live in an age of YouTube in which if it's not on YouTube, it never existed, or if it's
True.
not on Apple Music, it never existed.
Okay.
So it's more just to put things that aren't available on, that haven't been available on YouTube, or haven't, that isn't
Got it.
really available on Apple Music, on YouTube for people to know
Got it.
about.
It's, okay, so it's an archive rather than like a podcast or something like that.
Correct.
That's cool, though. Have you put up like some Cradle of Rock stuff? The Cradle of Rock, excuse me, because without the T, without the, it's a
The
movie.
movie is Cradle of Rock. The
Yes.
musical is The Cradle. Thank you, Tim Robbins, for that confusion. I loved listening to that episode. It's great. I
So
love Mark
confused.
Benani. Mark Benani, if you're listening, I'm your number one fan.
Okay, I'll let him know that.
But in any case, there's, because Cradle is his most important work and the work that's been, his most produced, there's already enough stuff about Cradle. But his other works, such as Rubin Rubin or Regina or The Harpies or I've Got a Tune, those musicals haven't been really put out there. So it's just a place where his unknown stuff can be visible now.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
What is the channel again?
A Mark Blitzstein archive.
Mark Blitzstein Archive. And if you, I don't,
Has nothing to do with the court jester.
yeah, no, definitely not. And if you actually know of a stage production of The Court Jester or want to ask for our input
Or if you know the
on.
Schubert organization, I'll give you my number gladly.
Not for jobs, just to like be able
No,
to,
just general qualms of what the heck they're putting on Broadway now.
yeah. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. It should also be said that Colden is at Colden Lamb on Instagram
And on .com.
and .com. If you have the prints for the cut numbers from this movie, I'd love to see them because somebody has to have it
You
unless they
don't.
burned it.
I told you, silly boy, at the very beginning of the podcast that Danny Kaye recorded
No,
the
but the
deleted
film, I
songs.
mean, they didn't film it or they did film
I
it.
don't think they filmed it. No, it must have been.
Oh, so they cut
They
it
wrote it.
before.
They cut
Got
it
it.
before they shot. That's my theory. And then they put them in for the
Well,
soundtrack.
if somebody has the storyboards of it, I would love to see them. Of these proposed scenes. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to be talking about a music video to The Mythic Crystal. I'm not going to say who the band is because it'll give away the guest, everyone. So you'll have to figure it out on your own.
Because the best kind of prize is a surprise.
Oh, there we go. Colden, thank you so much. I'm surprised that we didn't get into like German epic theater
You bring
or
that up every single episode. episode just
Or,
because the
like,
first time I talked about it, if it pennies from heaven, you just think all I talk about is German expressionism.
or I mean, you did bring up 5,000 fingers, but this wasn't weird enough to be like 5,000 fingers. So it was fine. It was a fine movie. Next time you're gonna come to me and you're like, I have something that's batshit crazy, and you're gonna fucking do it, and I'll be like, thank you. Thank you for the
I don't
content.
think I have. I don't think I have anything bat crap crazy yet.
Who knows? But everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Boom, boop, bling. Special thanks to our songwriting
Just
composer,
say
whatever.
goodbye. Just say goodbye.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.